Cool. Let's give it a shot.
Hey, everybody. Today's episode is a special Christmas edition. Welcome back to Boiling Point Faith and Fire. Merry Christmas. This is a show that has us calling things what they are, not really what's convenient. I wouldn't say this is necessarily not a feel-good podcast. It's a truth podcast. We're here to talk about faith without filters, Christ without compromise, and culture without fear. We don't outsource our discernment. We don't bow to corrupted systems, and we don't pretend that silence equals peace. Our mission is simple: wake people up, anchor them in biblical truth, and remind them that personal responsibility under God is not optional. It is foundational. So, we're not doing Hallmark Jesus today. We're going to talk about the real reason that his birth still matters and why the same world that celebrates a baby once a year still hates the message he carried. Jesus was not born into comfort. He was not born into a world of safety, and he sure as hell wasn't born to keep corrupt systems intact. Whether or not December was the actual date, doesn't bother us because they picked a day to remember something real. God stepped into corruption to confront it, not to coexist with it. And that truth still just makes people absolutely uncomfortable. Before we go any further, even on the Christmas episode, I'm going to do it. The legal disclaimer. Okay. Everything that we talk about on the show is for entertainment, commentary, personal opinion purposes only. We're not giving anybody medical, legal, political, or professional advice. We encourage critical thinking, personal research, and individual responsibility. Nothing here should be taken as complete instruction. Just a conversation meant to challenge or like just provoke thinking and encourage discernment. As always, this show would not exist without the man, the myth, the legend, my co-host Rory, bringing the fire, the logic, and the masculine backbone to the conversations that we aren't sugarcoating. But he is my partner in crime, keeping me grounded, keeping us anchored in truth and faith, and he is a podcast guru. So if you're looking for soft religion, this isn't it. If you're ready to talk about Christ and culture and power and responsibility with your eyes open, this is the show for you. So Merry Christmas, you guys. And Rory, thank you for being here. And Merry Christmas to you today.
Merry Christmas to you too, my goodness. I can't believe it's already Christmas time. I feel like this
I
whole year just
know.
went like snap, goodbye, gone. I feel like I had surgery a month ago
Yeah.
and it was like over a year ago. Last Christmas I could barely move. So this Christmas I can move more, but there's more pain, which is crazy. But I'm getting old. These Christmases are piling up on me right now. So
They
Merry Christmas
do.
to you too. I'm just glad I have
Yeah.
hot coffee to get me through.
Thank you. Right. And matcha cheese. So cheers to staying warm. It's crazy because I used to talk about I have this great view from my office. Okay. So I'd watch the snow, all the things, but also it's really cold in here. So I went ahead and I completely insulated my windows. It is a dark cave in here. So I can't even see outside. And I'm going to say I'm so happy because all this time we've had snow on the ground and all of a sudden it is a brown, ugly, dead mess outside. And I listen, I'm taking it kind of hard because this Christmas is kind of different for me because it's my first Christmas where my two girls are not in the house with us. They have their own places. It's like the first Christmas that not all my babies are waking up under the same roof. So it looks different. And then, am I going to cry when I say this? I think I am. And it's okay because you guys love me anyway. My last Christmas with my son before he is like a Marine, and who knows when I'll ever, have him home for Christmas again. Who knows where his journey is taking him. So this Christmas is hitting me a little bit different this year. It's just weird. It's a weird Christmas, and I have high expectations of perfection. Was it too much to ask for a white Christmas just to lock in that Christmas feel? 'Cause this is one of those first lasts or last firsts. I don't know. It's weird.
There's no way to prepare for it either. So you have every right in the world to burst into tears whenever you would like.
Yeah.
I am a full-blooded empty nester. My wife and I are 100% empty nesters now. And 2 years ago, my boys decided, hey, we're going to get everybody together and we're going to have Christmas, here, we're gonna wake up in the morning, the whole bit, because, and we're gonna do it one last time, because they knew that they were off, their businesses were huge. They knew it was like this may be the last time the whole family's together for Christmas. So we had this whole big thing. And, at the end of it, I was like it hit me, it meant a lot, but I didn't quite get it. Last year was the first one for us, where my wife and I woke up on Christmas morning and nobody cared. It just sort of washed over us. Like, there's no what's under the tree. There's no what's in the stockings. There's nobody waking up at 5 to poke you to say, hey, let's go, There was nothing. And you're like, well, maybe we'll talk to him later. I don't know. That was the worst, the absolute worst. And so now we're heading into this Christmas, and man, it doesn't get easier, and you don't get used to it. And so I hate to say this to you, but it's only going to get worse as your kids grow up. So enjoy having the ones home now that you have home, and thank God for those blessings as long as you have them. Yeah, because when they're gone, it's so painful.
Well, I've been kind of just on this journey of this is coming into the second year of reading the Bible every day and just really intentionally having that relationship with Christ, making sure I'm using my voice and my platform. And so, for you guys listening, I have two littles still, a 7-year-old and 11-year-old, still believe in the magic. I do the elves for them. I do the all the things, right? So Santa's still coming, but my youngest made a comment the other day of just like something about I don't think Santa is real. And I am so very much torn because I'm like, am I honoring Christ by like not telling her the truth in this? And they're the ones that will tell you though that what Christmas is about. It's about celebrating baby Jesus. Like they get it. And their favorite part is that they know everybody's going to be here. So my family is coming together. We have a, it is a, I don't give them a choice. This will happen forever when they are able. We have a cookie decorating contest every year. And we get real and crazy and competitive. And like that is, they're excited we're going to do that. And it's just us. It's the 8 of us here, playing games, eating food, making cookies. And like they say all the time, that's their favorite part. And I, even my boys are like, the girls are going to be here, right? And so, yeah, it's I'm torn with that. Like, do I keep the littles letting have the magic, or is this, do I finally tell them the truth? Because I don't know. It's weird because I'm torn between that. Like, just let her be a baby and believe in magic. But also, is that, am I listening to the discernment from Christ in that situation?
I had to deal with that with all three of mine. With my daughter, unfortunately, my daughter's from my first marriage. Not everybody knows that about me, that I actually, was married, divorced, and my daughter's from my first marriage. My wife, who's with me now, has been with me for, my God, way, way too long. She, if she was going to leave me, she could have done it a long time ago. But because of that, I didn't get to choose that one. My ex-wife took control of that, made the decision on her own, and told my daughter that, the truth about what was happening there. And
How old was
I
she?
think it was too young. She was, so what was it? Second grade, I think. Second grade, I think, is the best thing that I can do. Maybe first grade. Yeah, I was right in there. Maybe first grade. For her, with where she was, and with everything else going on in her life, I mean, divorced parents and the whole bit, it was already tough. And I think we should have waited another year. What I did then with my two boys is I said, all right, I'm going to wait till this gets questioned, you know what I'm going to see. And when they questioned it like that, I said, I'm going to go one more year. And that's what I decided. When they're questioning it, then that's the end, because you're not going to get past that, right? It's already in there. So I said, all right, question it. You get one last run with the big guy, and then we're going to tell you, and we're going to move forward, and it worked out really good, because then they kind of knew, And even when they had the last one, they were questioning. They were looking around like, all right. And they were trying to figure out themselves. But when they can process that way, then it's not as painful. It's not like this thing being ripped out of them, that they've believed in for so long. So that's just my personal recommendation is when they question, that's the signal of this is your last one.
Yeah, so it sounds like this is our
I
last
don't
one.
question and then just answer and then say, yeah. That's what I would guess. If she's questioning already, I'd say, all right, do this one. And then sometime, in the summer, when there's no Christmas spirit around, it's like sit around and go, hey, I just want you to know coming up, this is what the deal is. But that's
And
my two cents from a guy who's got scars to spare.
she's so smart. She's gonna be like, I knew that already. I just didn't want to hurt your feelings. Like, she'll probably be that person. So
Exactly.
I don't want to hurt
Right.
your feelings,
She'll be in
mom.
control. She'll feel good. Talk about easing the blow. Yeah. What you really don't want to do is when they're full into believe mode and then you rip it away from them and they have this huge sense of loss and they never got to process it.
That's not okay.
And that's kind of what happened to my daughter.
Yeah, that's rough. That is rough.
For what it's worth.
So parents out there, I mean, we know where you are. So if you're empty nesters, absolutely, Rory has that bleeding heart for you, and he understands, and it's okay to grieve that. And I think that, it is a grieving process to know that things are changing like that. So I think Christmas probably doesn't get exciting for empty nesters until they have grandkids, and I'm sure that Christmas magic comes back. So there's hope.
Right. I'm hoping. I'm hoping. You're a mom. Let me ask one more, sort of materialistic question, Christian, Christmas question. There we go. Not enough coffee this morning, my goodness. But anyway, when your kids hit you with the hey mom, what do you want for Christmas thing? How do you handle that with the age of your kids and so on and so forth?
I've always said nothing. I say nothing. I say nothing. I want you. Actually, what I've asked is for them to get along for one whole day. So I'll never get what I want. I'm like, one day that you guys go without fighting. That's what I asked for my birthday. That's what I asked for Christmas, for Mother's Day. It's just one day where all six of you are in the same room and you don't fight. One day. So it, I,
You might as well have asked for a unicorn.
Exactly. So I say, ask for the impossible, you guys.
Then I want a dragon when you're done with that, right? That's awesome. I did the, from the father standpoint, I've always done that. I've always said, hey, nothing. I don't want you to get me anything, it changes a little bit when you're in the empty nest mode. Not because you ask for things, but because I think that you still say nothing, but what you really wish is that they would just give you some time. And I'm to the point now where it's like, hey, what do you and mom want for Christmas? Time with you guys. That's it. And they're like, Dad, really? No, really, that's what we want. Okay, you want to hand me a bow and then spend 2 hours with me at lunch? Great. Okay, I'll even buy lunch. We just want time. We just want you to want to spend some time with us. That's it. That's all we want. And I've found that that becomes better to say. They hear, I don't want anything for so long that it doesn't register anymore. And then they go, well, I know you don't want anything, but I'll still get you something, And, they're both in that mode of they're doing great. They're making money. They want to like give back. It's all wonderful. I don't want a gift. I want that from you, but man, I would love to, hang out with you for 2 hours. I mean, it would be awesome, right? If you're in town for 6 days, maybe you could spend a few hours with me, that type of thing. And that's like all you want. That's all you want. But we've gotten to the point now where we do ask for that. We're like, you know what? We gave everything we had to raise you. We're just going to tell you, what do we want for this? Dad, what do you want for Father's Day? Time. How about that? A little bit of time.
That's it.
And I think after a while, it makes a difference. I think they kind of get it, but anyway, I don't know. Just thoughts for the other folks out there dealing with the emptiness syndrome.
Well, I think we do make it non-negotiable 2 Saturdays a month all six kids here under the roof family night. Non-negotiable, you know? So I demand that outside of holidays, and I will continue to always do that just because, you know, I don't care. Like, my daughter's really busy. I mean, she's working full time. She's driving back and forth for school right now, in Indiana, and then she's just doing a lot on top of her training because she's still running. She'll come here and like literally fall asleep on the couch at family night, and I'm fine with that. Like, as long as her body's in, under the roof, I'm like, I don't, you know, if you need to come home and take a nap during family night, cool. Like, hug everybody, say hello, and like, I'm happy with you just sleeping on the couch and she's home. But that is a non-negotiable for me. And I think, you know, this keeping that kind of thing, like, maybe families can't do it. You know, if you have someone out of town, I think it's at least once a year non-negotiable. You guys meet up, meet halfway, do something like that. I think that makes it hurt less. You know, I go years without seeing my dad, and it's heartbreaking. So,
Ouch.
yeah.
Now, is there an end to when that gets enforced? Like, you know, when they get married or when they have kids or something like that? Or you're just going to keep that going, you think?
I don't know. I don't know if I'll end it. Probably not. Bring your kids, bring your husband. I don't care. You know, maybe it's just a kids only. Maybe it's how, you know, their break away from the house, from the family moment, to just come be a kid at home again for a minute. So I'm pretty sure the family is going to be close. The only one that we're going to struggle with now is obviously our Marine. You know, he's not going to have the same freedom, but when
Right.
he's home, there will be a non-negotiable, like, hey, your brother's home, we're meeting today. So I don't know. I don't look forward to the empty nest thing, and I can't imagine what it feels like, because I'm waking up with that hollow space, just not having the two girls here, and I still have four babies home, and I'm already like gutted and already feeling that, like, I'm grieving it, you know. So having them all gone, I don't know who I'm going to be at that point. Probably heavily medicated with some big pharma brain numbing medication, feeling numbing. Give me everything you have so that I don't have any feelings, no thoughts. I just want to be a vegetable. Ben will clean the drool off the side of my face every once in a while, and I'll be fine. It's fine.
You're so incredibly full of it right now. It's
Oh my
like
gosh.
absolutely, you know, things that will never, ever, ever happen to Brandon for 100, Alex. Thank you. Yeah, I don't think so. All right, but good try. I think that's awesome, though, that you enforced that and that you've laid that out as expectation. That's fantastic. It really is.
They're not always fans, and I don't care. It's, you
Good for
know,
you. All right.
family's about showing up. It doesn't mean it's always going to be convenient, right?
Right. So, are you guys hosting everything this year at your place, or are you going somewhere else?
Always. Nope, we'll be here. Yep.
Nice. Very
Make
nice.
some
All right.
food.
Well,
I
good
still
luck with
have
that.
an,
That's
yeah,
awesome.
thank you. And what are you guys going to do then on Christmas?
We have a pretty cool scenario that has happened because, you know, our kids are all over the place. You know, I got
Yeah.
one outside Chicago, one in Indy, one in Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah, the one that's in Indy, my daughter-in-law, her family lives here with us locally. We're like almost in the same area. You know, it's like 5 minutes away. And we've just gotten to know them really well over all these years, and we all get along fabulously. And they invited us to come to their place, and they're hosting Christmas. And the kids are both coming up from Indy to be there for Christmas. So we're going to at least be able to be with one of them. That's kind of what we've decided, is we want to try and at least be with one of the kids somehow at the holidays, and we kind of see how it all works out. These are the same ones that hosted Thanksgiving at their place.
Yes.
So, you know, we're still getting to see them. But we did just get back from having kind of an early Christmas with my daughter and her new
Nice.
husband outside of Chicago. So they took us to the Kris Kringle or whatever it's called, Kringle Kringle, the German market thing, the Christmas market deal.
Okay.
That's like all over the world.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should know what it's called because I was there with them. But all I cared
That's
about was I was
funny.
there with them.
You were
You
there with
know,
them. You were in the moment.
that was it. You know, I
I
mean, you're
love
eating
that.
brats and you know, crepes and you know, I'm drinking a German beer and they're having like hot wine, which to the I really can't understand anybody ever drinking, but
No.
and it was, you know, they had, it was just a great time. It was a great day. So we did that and we got to see them. And then hopefully the ones from Colorado will get to see a little bit, you know,
Yeah.
when they sort of breeze in and out of town too. So
Right.
the Colorado thing's always harder, but that's what you kind of have to do is you pick your moments, you pick your spots, and you do your best. But we're trying to at least have holidays with at least one of the three and trying to vary it if it's possible. And it's hard, you know,
Right.
because we got to travel now. We can't just sit here and expect them to come home. I didn't lay down the law like you did.
Right.
I should have. I'm regretting this a little bit right now. I should have been like, AO,
Yeah.
home,
But you're still
period.
dad. You can change the
That's it.
narrative. You're still the boss. Like, you can just, it's never too late, I feel like.
You know, I may have to try it.
Yeah.
I'll say, look, I've been inspired by my co-host. I'm tired of this. All
My
right.
sister from
Time
another
to
mister
power man
demanded.
this up.
Your Auntie B said y'all got to hang out with dad, so do it.
That's it.
Non-negotiable.
Got a
This
problem? Take it up
happens.
with her.
Yeah, give him my number. It's fine.
Right on.
All
That's
right, you
hilarious.
guys, let's get
Yeah.
into
Anyway,
this
those were our
today.
plans.
Yes, I love that. I love that. It's going to be the best day. But I do want to get into this Christmas edition, okay? Because I do feel like it's in such alignment with the world today because it's just the irony of celebrating his birth, and this is something that has been commercialized and monetized, and the contradiction of them just killing his message. And here's the truth, you guys, if your faith never costs you anything, it's not biblical. It's what I've learned. And there's this lie about his birth, when really, like, you guys, he did not arrive into a functioning society. When he was born, it was a police state under Roman rule, heavy taxes, government ordered censuses, right? They're still doing this. It's a system where power was protected at all cost. So I don't know if that might sound familiar to do. I feel like it's a great parallel to our lives. But I mean, the state's counting bodies and controlling everybody's every move. Mary didn't give birth in this calm environment. So this is just really, Jesus entered the world inside a corrupt system, not outside of it. And this is the thing, he didn't just sit around and wait for things to get better. He showed up to call out evil and to expose the rot. God does not wait for permission from governments or institutions or the elites to move. And Jesus wasn't killed for being kind. He was killed for being accurate because he exposed that religious hypocrisy. He refused to bow to political power. He healed without state approval, forgave sins without institutional permission. And yes, that was a thing back then. Told people they were responsible for repentance and obedience. And that's the threat. Truth tellers do not get attacked in this day and age because they're wrong. Didn't happen then, it doesn't happen now. You get attacked because you make people responsible. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. So what he's saying is, like, you don't need Rome. You don't need Pharisees. You don't need permission. You don't need repentance. You don't need that stuff. And that collapses control structures. Because you're waking people up, and we do this without violence. And I feel like what has happened with Christianity is people have watered it down, this sweet baby Jesus. This really perfect little birth story. Was it a gift? Yes, but he came in and Christianity watered him down. They turned the lion into a mascot, the gospel into vibes, repentance into self-expression. And what are people trying to say with modern Christianity is, you know, everything we've always fallen for. And if you've been listening to the show, it's that just be kind, don't judge. Accept everybody. Jesus wants you comfortable. Don't question authority. Trust the system. Merry Christmas. That is not the Jesus of Scripture. He did not come to send peace on earth. A sword, not a physical sword. He came as a sword, a truth sword, to divide truth from lies, obedience from convenience, faith from compliance. And when we water down the sweet baby Jesus, like he wasn't powerful, when the church softens Jesus so they can stay liked and accepted, you've got some backwards, off the rail, state-approved religion. And that's a religion that's going to serve power. It's never going to serve God.
Wow. Did you write that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. You know, if you're sitting
There's.
at home and you're hearing this, you know, one thing that I want to make sure that people are getting is ask yourself, what are you celebrating? What are you really celebrating on that day? And that's just some incredible points that you're bringing up right now. You know, people need to consider that in a big way. What are you actually celebrating?
Yeah.
You know, it's not just his birth. It's him. It's what he stood for. And it's what he accomplished. And in the end, it's what he was also put to death for.
Correct.
So, yeah,
And
that's good.
we can celebrate that. I think there should be a day that we can honor that. But it's not the Hallmark holiday where, you know, the hustle and bustle of how much money can we spend? Did everybody get enough presents? Like even my kids are reminding me what the real meaning is. And I think today should be a great day for you just to kind of sit back and take it all in, right? And I want you to think about what it actually means to follow Christ, especially when it costs you. Because following him means that you're going to start taking personal responsibility over blind trust. It means that you're going to step into a place of stewardship of your mind, of your body, of your family. It means saying no when it's unpopular. And it's that confession and the reality of silence being complicity. Jesus never outsourced any of his responsibility for any of it. For every man shall bear his own burden. He doesn't want you dependent on a government that is spawned from evil. He doesn't want you hand-holding and coddling everybody in your life, including yourself. He wants you to take massive biblical personal responsibility. And this is why we have monetized Christmas, because centralized power hates the message of Christ. Pharma hates the message of Christ. Governments hate the message of Christ. Institutions hate the message of Christ. They do not want self-governed people under God. They do not want that. And our world is demanding compliance. Everything is upside down. What is good is evil. What is evil is good. And Christmas is a reminder, okay? I want this to be a reminder to you. I want to bring you back to what is really super important. He didn't come to ignore corrupt systems or to make them nicer. He came to replace them with truth. We don't worship the baby in the manger and ignore the man on the cross. We don't do that. Your role and the best gift that this show can offer you for Christmas is to wake up, to live awake, to stop outsourcing your discernment, to be rooted and responsible and unmoved. They celebrate his birth every December and they still hate what he taught. If your faith is only working when it's convenient, that's not the faith that he died for. It's just not.
Amen. Absolutely amen. You know, as people are digesting what you're telling them right now, and they're trying to figure out how that applies to them and their lives and, you know, how they spend their day. Folks, if you haven't done it before, This is a great time to take what Brandon's saying to heart and to realize, hey, maybe I've missed the mark a little bit myself. And just a thought, if you have your family around you and you've never actually had a discussion about faith with them, have one this Christmas. If you have these people around you, your children and stuff, and you haven't opened the Bible together, do it this Christmas. Say, hey, we're going to do something different. We're just going to open the Bible and we're going to read something. Let them all know that it's okay. Let them know what it's about. And you don't have to sit here and pay for your sins that you've done in the past. You don't have to go, well, I've never done it that way, so I guess it's just is what it is. One beautiful thing about Jesus is it's never too late to change who you are, to start doing things differently, and to ask forgiveness and change your path. Folks, pick up the Bible. He wrote it all down for you. You don't have to worry about what do I do next. Open the book. That's it.
And he makes it very simple, you know? He maps out your role in this human experience, and it's not to scream at the darkness, and it's not to pretend that it isn't there. It is to be able to see clearly and to stand solid. He never told his followers. There's not one place where I've read this in the Bible, and maybe I'm wrong because whatever, I've only read it twice. I can miss stuff, but he never told his followers to fix Rome. His message is do not become Rome. We cannot be a part of the machine. We cannot be a part of the system, and we aren't going to be the ones that fix it. And that distinction really matters because right now in our world, everything is loud on purpose. We've got fear cycles. We have manufactured outrage. We have scripted meetings, manufactured emotional manipulation, holiday distractions, endless crisis designed to keep people reactive. Because reactive people are easy to control. A grounded person is not. I want you guys to have discernment without the hysteria, you know? Christmas has become pressure. Buy more, do more, perform more, post proof, stay busy, stay distracted. You guys, they made Christmas a job. I don't see how we got so far off the mark here, because we're not really celebrating. We're not really celebrating that. It's a day marked to remember something very special. A journey that proved God is real and God loves us more than anything in the world. To do what he did and for Jesus to walk the path that he did, absolutely thank God for his birth every single day. But celebration doesn't require delusion. Okay? Let's stay real in these moments. Salvation doesn't come through anything but Christ. So, absolutely, let's celebrate the moment that he came here without being hypnotized. Participate in Christmas without putting on a show, because it really is just about the gift that we were given. Can't repay that. You can't atone for anything you've ever done by giving other people gifts. The best gift you can give your people is talk about the birth of Jesus and talk about what he died for. Don't forget the message in between. It's not a Hallmark holiday. This is a big deal. And the best gift you can give people is the real story of who Jesus is and what he stands for. And then honor that. In the newness of the year coming, honor that in every decision you make. That means you wake up and you make the choice to honor God with your morals, with your values, with your choices, your ethics, and your core beliefs. Every single day, standing up for the truth.
Love that. Really, really love that. Folks, the other thing going through my head right now as I'm listening to Brandon say this is don't wait for somebody else to do it. Don't sit there at home and make that look. God needs us to do this ourselves. Jesus needs us to lead
Yeah.
people to him. He needs us to start discipleship at home, at our kitchen table, with our families. I mean, as I do, I'm talking to a lot of dads right now because that's just my style. It's, who I am, it's where I'm from. But I mean, if you're a mom and it's not being done, you know what? Take the lead. Say something. Stand up. Because, Christmas, if ever there's a day of the year to wake up the lions, it is Christmas. It's time to speak up and say, look, we need to speak up. We can't just sit here and talk about the sale and keep the return receipt and worry about whether it's turkey, ham, or brisket. You know what I mean? It's like, look, there's a whole lot more to it than that. So lead the way. If you're feeling any kind of call on your heart at all, lean into that and lead the way and have the conversation. One conversation could start the entire movement and could change your entire life. It all starts there.
I mean, if that's our role right now to talk about him and listen to me when I say this, because this is true no matter where you are. When Jesus did not preach at home, he didn't, because they did not take him serious. So I never, and I've said this in sales, I've said this in coaching, I've said this everywhere. Don't ever take it personal when the people close to you don't hear the same message. Your job is to plant the seed, and you're going to do that by how you show up. How you show up. It's not about like panicking at the world or protesting nonstop or pretending everything's fine, but your job really is just to see clearly and show them that you're not going to be spiritually drugged by distraction. Because especially now, the Hallmark version of Christmas, it's busy on purpose. Depression rates, suicide rates, all of that goes up now, and that's been intentional. They want you to consume, comply, smile, don't think hard. I don't care about what day they picked. I care about the fact that the whole world wants us celebrating the baby and they're rejecting the message. I want you to live the message, because that message is going to cut through all of the world's bullshit, all of the bloated government power, all of the moral stuff dressed up as some sort of compassion, all the pharmaceutical profits masquerading as some health censorship. That's your safety. AI is your convenience. Population is trained to outsource responsibility instead of exercising discernment. So it's not about being asked to make Rome do better. It is you steward this by showing, walking, planting the seeds, by governing yourself under God. And you don't need permission for that. Don't submit truth to authority. The world doesn't want you dependent. That is the best gift you could give your family, to be dependent, to be honest. And it's our role is the same as it always has been, what he's called for us to do biblically. Read the book, don't take my word for it. Your job is to stay awake, take responsibility for your bodies, for your families, for your choices. Refuse the fear-based compliance. Refuse getting lost in the Hallmark sauce. Live rooted in the truth, even when it's not comfortable or popular. Don't confuse tradition with obedience. The point was never some day on a calendar and big stores are banking right now. It is just to remember that Jesus came here to confront evil, and to make sure that we have a place at the end of all of it, if we choose. And you have that choice today. So I really just want you to get to the truth of that. I want you to prepare yourself mentally now. 2026 is the year that you walk with Christ for real. Like, no more messing around. No more Bible cherry picking verses to make yourself feel good. No more just praying when your life is falling to shit. It's about really every single day choosing him and honoring him by being willing to read the Bible. Celebrate his birth. Be grateful for that. But don't do what everybody else has done and just lose the message.
Well said. 100%. We started this episode off talking about parents and about being parents. And, parents, you have the chance right now to sort of reset the entire expectation, reset the stage, reset the table for your family and how they look at this stuff. If you go into your faith and your belief, like, ugh, I guess we should probably read about the Bible today. So, hey, let me read something to you. Your kids are going to hear that. And they're going to go, oh, I have to do it. It's not something I should do or something that I want to do. It's not good. If you go into it and go, listen, I want to do something different. You know what? Let's read something together and let's talk about it real quick. It won't take long. I just want you guys to open this up and see something. And you grab this book, okay, that all of us have, all right, and none of us, apparently can find, all right, but we've all got it someplace in the house. I'm telling you. Open it up and read it like it's something that they might want to read. And I'm going to tell you, if they get that from you, then you start planting the seed to them doing this for their families and to them making it a part of their lives. So on Christmas, when you're worried about what to get everybody and you're worried about what gift to give them the gift of your approval that they think that this is cool, because they will. As soon as they think you're good with it, they're going to understand that it's okay to be good with it. And it's never too late to change. Never too late to change. Hey guys, I want to do this this year. Do this with me. Okay, Dad. Okay, Mom. Trust me. Lead the way and they'll follow.
Best Christmas gift ever. And really, I mean, if you want to close us out today, I think I said what I needed to say. And I think that you guys understand that it's important that the message doesn't get lost in the holiday.
100%. Yeah, I'll close this out. I only have one thing to say. Episodes like this are why I do this with you. Merry Christmas to everybody and
Merry
to you and your family.
Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.